Welcome, everybody, to episode 325 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby. And on this day, you can walk into your grocery store probably and find pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin
beer. Because
that's
how retail rolls.
Already. It's a little early for pumpkin beer, I think.
Yeah, well, I've already seen Pumpkin by Southern Tier, and I've already seen some other Halloween brews. I've already seen pallets of Halloween candy. Because grocery stores are always 3 months ahead of you.
I really like a few of Southern Tier's beers, but some of them are a little over the top extract flavor for my taste, for my palate. The creme brulee they had was really good, but you can't drink that much of it. It starts to taste weird. It's like when you see the same word too many times and then it looks like it's spelled weird. That's how Southern Tier's beers are for me. I have too much of one, and then they just taste wrong. And I don't know what's wrong with them, but I don't know. So how are you, man?
Speaking of beer, you're actually wearing a Sand Hills Brewing t-shirt.
I am wearing a Sand Hills Brewing t-shirt.
Which by the way, is Pippin's Brewing Company. And for those who may not be on the up and up, I believe Pippin's brother is working on opening up his own, sort of expanding that brand to his neck of the woods in Kansas, right?
It is a partnership between the two of them, and everybody's pitching in wherever we can. And so Carrie and I got to go and help brew that very, very first legal batch when we were hanging out with Pippin and
Molly. You ever get a chance to taste it, by the way? Because I know you guys left before.
He sent us maybe some, so we maybe have had some, and maybe it was delicious.
Oh,
is maybe all that I can say about that. but I know other people, Chris Klosowski, other people have visited and helped them, make all of that happen. And watching the demo, you follow, I think it's Sandhills Brewing on Instagram, is lots of cool demolition photos of the Kansas City location getting torn apart and eventually put back together. And it's cool. Everything is going really well, and everything's really pretty. It's turning out good.
So today we don't have a guest scheduled on the show. We do have Scott Clark scheduled for next week. So today we'll kind of get you caught up on the news, maybe throw in a couple of rants. Who knows? Let's see where it goes.
Really? Us? That never happens. It doesn't sound like us at all.
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, it's fantastic that I can hear you. It doesn't sound like lightning over an AM radio.
That's good. Yeah, that's not.
Apparently, you Humpty Dumptied your system. You took it all apart, compressed air, and put it all back together again.
Exactly.
And it sounds great, so.
Good. Great. Yeah, that's really embarrassing. So I apologize to all of the listeners from the past several weeks that have had to listen to my terrible audio quality. There's nothing really different. All I did was just unplug everything, move it into a different room, and then plug it all back in pretty much exactly the same way. So I don't know. I guess gremlins in the machines.
Well, it's working. So let's get into some of today's topics. And the first up is WordPress 4.9.8 RC3 was released yesterday. And this includes one enhancement. And it's kind of an important enhancement. What it does is it limits the try Gutenberg callout. So if Gutenberg is not installed or activated on a site, the callout will be displayed to users with the install plugins capability. And if Gutenberg is activated, the callout will be shown to users with the edit post capability. So what this does is it limits the visibility of the callout to a specific subset of users who, and this will help avoid inundating the WordPress.org support forums with Gutenberg support requests or from people reporting issues that are already known, which is a concern that was expressed by Daniel Bach, who were about 4 months ago. So other than this change, everything else from that was in 4.9.8 RC1 is the same. And 4.9.8 was supposed to be released on Tuesday, but they pushed back 2 days to get this one change in, which I think was a smart move. And the release now is set for tomorrow afternoon around 1 p.m. Eastern, I believe.
Yep. It's really smart to keep pushing this back until it's right. The install plugins capability is the right capability to kind of leverage to build this off of. And I've ranted or expressed some concerns before even with plugins that have add-on stores, like the folks at Gravity Forms or even us with Easy Digital Downloads or anything else, like showing users who can't even take the action that you're notifying them should be taken is kind of silly. It's really, it's a distraction. It does two things wrong. It shows users that there are things that they can't do, and then it also asks them to do it and then doesn't let them do it. And so by showing a button to install Gutenberg to users that can't install Gutenberg doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
And so I still question the if Gutenberg is active, why show the call out at all? It's already active. Like, I get that there is a warning or some education or whatever else involved, and I think that that's great. But it's already there. Why bother with it?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, right. It's fine that everyone's trying to get the word out, but we went through that a couple of years ago in WordPress core by kind of hiding a lot of the warnings, or if a post doesn't have any tags, don't put tags :none. Just don't show the tags label at all. Like, if there's nothing to show, then show nothing. Don't reinforce the fact that there's nothing. And so if it's already active, why educate people more? I don't know. It's getting there, but this is a good compromise, I think.
It's Guten there.
It is Guten.
Well, let's continue with the theme we established on last week's episode, where we just bolt words onto Guten.
That's right. Gutenberg.
Heck. No, okay. You got to keep it to two syllables.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. Well, speaking of Gutenberg, Gutenberg 3.4 was released yesterday. Includes as we usually talk about, a lot of enhancements and fixes. So what this does, one of the highlights here is that there's now a warning that pops up that lets you know that if a post was previously edited in Gutenberg, there's a little warning that says you can use you can edit the post in the classic editor or edit it in Gutenberg. But if you, like, for example, if you edit the post in the classic editor, you may lose specific formatting and some data that may be attached to it that's kind of only compatible in the Gutenberg editor. So there's that. They've changed, they've renamed shared blocks to reusable blocks to better convey their function. Theme developers can now configure font sizes that show up in the editor. And there's a bunch of other stuff in here as well. Mm-hmm. So speaking of Gutenberg, I don't know if you've used it extensively, but on the Tavern, we've been using it now. I use it for pretty much every post. And for the most part, it does seem to be getting better. I still run into issues. I'm still trying to get used to the UI change with removing a link. Before, I used to click on the three buttons to find the unlink. Yep. Icon. Now it's just above the link. I'm still getting used to that. Sometimes I'm still running into an issue where I will want to add an image block or change a paragraph block that was added into an image block, and I'm still having difficulty figuring that out. So what I'll end up doing is I'll delete that block and try and hover around to find the plus sign, and it still hasn't occurred to me that the plus sign to add a new block is always visible in the top left corner.
I know.
So I'm still trying to get used to that. And sometimes, based on certain key presses, a lot of content will get erased in blocks, or a whole block will get removed because maybe I did a keyboard shortcut or something by accident. So there's that. And then I also ran into an issue not too long ago. This might have been last week, where I was writing content in Gutenberg outside, and I believe this is when my Wi-Fi was kind of screwed up, but the autosave notification in the top right corner was blinking. I'm like, well, okay, I guess it's autosaving. And so I continued with the post, added metadata. I finished it up. I did the editing, and the autosaving thing was still blinking. So I'm like, well, this is probably not a good sign. So I did the control A to select all the blocks, all the content, copied it, reloaded the page, gave me the warning, says, would you like to leave the page because the content here is still whatever. I said yes. And it turns out that it never auto-saved. So I did actually lose content, but thankfully all I had to do was paste in what I had copied, and I was fine. But just sort of another instance where you expect that to not happen in WordPress, because WordPress it tries to do everything it can to make sure you don't lose data. And in that case, for some reason, it failed. The autosave never happened. And in fact, I had to lose content without me realizing it.
It's weird that the autosave didn't happen and that it didn't hit local storage. Because that's the whole point of local storage, is so that if for some reason the network connection is lost, that your post content still exists locally in your browser for you to be able to retrieve it without a network connection. So something went very wrong in your editing experience to have really irrecoverably lost everything. So
I didn't lose everything. I mean, I lost it up to a certain point where the autosave just stopped working.
Right. But you should be able to type and do your thing, and it should push that back to local storage whenever the network connection is lost or autosave fails. So, and how do you really file a bug report for something like that? Because you refresh the browser and everything comes back to life and it's fine, right? So what?
A few people asked me, did you file a bug report? I said, no, I mean, I don't know.
I lost my mail and it's your fault, right? Like, you can't yell at the person at the counter. You don't know how you lost your mail, how you lost your content, how you lost whatever. You don't know who's, and if you don't know how to duplicate it, then you're not really participating or helping anybody solve the problem. So I'm with you.
I've also noticed that I'll add tags. One of the last things I do for finishing up a post is I'll add the metadata. So that's tags. I'll edit the category. I'll add a featured image. And when I get to that point, sometimes I'll add that metadata at the end of the post. And I'll click preview. And usually when you click preview, it would create an autosave or save the post. But I've noticed that when I click preview and I'll scroll down to the bottom of the post, the metadata is not there. I actually have to click save or save as a draft. I guess in this case, it would be like a hard save instead of like a soft save with the autosave. Mm-hmm. And then the metadata is saved and it shows up. So I don't know. It's a little bit backwards from what it does now, because if I do it now in the classic editor, that stuff is saved.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the only place where meta won't save is a revision. Everything else, it doesn't really discriminate against. So,
something I have to look into that a little more.
And so, my experience with Gutenberg is about the same as yours, and this is one of the
hardest. By the way, there's an inline image block now.
There is an inline image block, which works as good as everything else does, I guess. And I guess that's like the gripe that I continue to have, which is sort of the gripe that I have in the world anyways, is and I'm going through with like some local municipality decision-making things that we're trying to do here, is how do you explain to someone that it doesn't feel right? How do you budget for making something feel right? If you can't convince someone of exactly why something needs to be a rounded corner instead of a sharp corner, if you can't explain to someone why burying your utilities looks prettier than having utility poles, if they don't care about that, if you can't explain to someone why the plus needs to be after every block instead of up in the upper left-hand corner, if it's not intuitive, how do you really communicate to someone what is intuitive to you and how that might be the most intuitive thing for everyone?
Yeah.
It's just really hard to do. And so some of the...
And then if you start thinking about, well, look, this is just for me, and what's good for me can't be what's good for everybody else. Yep. So why even bother going down that road?
And because we all kind of trust each other and believe that we're all really talented, you start to wonder whether or not something was done on purpose. or whether it was done on accident or not paid attention to at all. Like, well, this exists this way. Someone had to make it this way. They must have the reasons that they have made it this way. And so I kind of trust that this is the way that it is supposed to be. But at the same time, a lot of what made a WordPress attractive to me in the early days of it being open source was that you could kind of relatively easily challenge those assumptions and say, like, what about this? Or what if we tried it this way? And the response was typically like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a great idea. Let's give it a try. Or write a plugin and let's see how it goes or whatever else. And so with something that is as active with as much focus on it as Gutenberg has, I think it yields itself a little bit more to us doubting ourselves as to whether our feedback is useful. And everyone from Johan to Gary will come on the show and say, your feedback is valuable. Tammy will say, yes, file a ticket. We need your feedback. And I'll look at it and I'll go, well, maybe this is just what they wanted it to be. Like, you could say it to my face and I'm still going to be an idiot about it and go, yeah, I'm not going to waste your time with this one. This doesn't seem like that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. So I wonder too, like, how, now that most of the functionality is in there, now that most of the verbiage is nailed down, we spend the next remaining weeks and months focusing on that intuitive feeling part of it. That's really hard to nail down, because I think that's generally what the feedback will be when the next version of WordPress is shipped with the Gutenberg call out. Is everyone's going to try it and go, doesn't feel wonderful? And if that's the influx of issues or feedback on Twitter or in the forums or whatever else, then how much of that is truly useful versus just being a support request? So hopefully that gets figured out. Okay,
but I know what you want. You want to try Gutenberg call out to happen, which is going to happen this Thursday. You want to go to the support forums, and you want a bunch of people to validate what you feel inside.
I don't know. I so desperately want to be wrong about all of this. I really do. This is one of those times where, like, I want everyone to go, oh, this is awesome. This is the best thing ever. This is what we've been waiting for. And I've got a buddy of mine who has worked in WordPress years ago in a different life and is a Python, Django, React guy now. And he installed Gutenberg with some themes and getting it bolted together and playing with it. And he's like, you know, I can see how this is the future. I think it's great. This is the right direction to go. This is wonderful. This is way better than the WordPress that I was used to before. And then he says everything that we kind of had just got done saying. And so it's at least we are all going the right direction, I think. And that's the most important thing right now. The next thing is focusing the lens and isolating all the things that make it look and feel a little bit more intuitive, and that'll come with time. So,
focusing the change logs. I feel like I've read that in a recent tweet.
Yeah, that was earlier today. But the change log is still insane, right? Like, lots of fixing, lots of deprecating. Well, not a lot of deprecating, a little bit of deprecating. But yeah, it's great to see the momentum still happening with all of this.
So let's talk a little bit about Facebook. Where they're tightening their control on third-party applications Facebook will no longer allow apps to post to user profiles automatically. So back in April, Facebook announced that there would be changes to the publish actions permission, which allowed apps to publish to users' timelines on their behalf. Starting today, actually, the live API publish actions permission will be reserved for approved partners. And this is going to be a new permission model that allows apps to publish videos to their users' groups and timelines. And access to the page's APIs will require a resubmission of the application for review before today, should have been in before today. And this will actually be required to continue publishing live and VOD videos to pages, as well as reading insights. So this change has affected, for instance, Jetpack with the publicize feature, any other plugins out there that allowed automatic publishing to a user's profile Those have been affected. That will no longer work. So what you can do is you can, if you're a Facebook user and you have a configuration like this set up, you could change your Facebook profile to a page, mm-hmm. and that'll work. Or if you have a Facebook page, like for instance, the tavern, our posts are automatically sent to a Facebook page. So this change does not affect us. Mm-hmm. But down here at the bottom, Sarah Gooding's analysis says that if by having only a few select approved partners to broadcast users' timelines, it puts smaller players at a disadvantage, requiring manual sharing each time they publish. And she also says, put a different way, the only syndicated content allowed on Facebook would be through channels the company can monetize. So that's business, organization pages, or partners who are approved to post to users' timelines.
Yep.
And I think that's a pretty good analysis. And also there's a quote in here by Matt Mulloway who says that as it turns out, Facebook is also turning off the ability for WordPress sites and all websites to post directly to users' profile pages. The decision to shut down the API is ostensibly to fight propaganda and misinformation on the platform, but I think it's a big step back for their embrace of the open web, and I hope that they change their minds, end quote. And that's from Matt Mulloway.
I agree with Matt. It's a bad deal. It's funny how Facebook always manages to be on the wrong end of decision making like this, because it, the end result of this is kind of like, it's kind of Apple News, right? We have these partners that we allow to post news on our platform because we have blessed them into the walled garden in the kingdom. If you're not part of this, if someone hasn't approved you, then you're just out of luck. And so it's we've killed RSS and we've made everything a news outlet and a channel now. And this is kind of Facebook's first dip into going that direction without saying so. And it's a bad deal, man. This is like another one of those things that I get what they're trying to do and why, and that is fine, but it's not a good deal.
So outside of this, I wanted to talk a little bit about Facebook and maybe rant a little bit as a user. But and I published a tweet shortly before the show because I thought it was actually kind of a good, a short and simple, concise explanation of what it's been like for me to use Facebook recently. And every time I go to Facebook, I want to check in and I want to see what my friends have posted, want to see what they're up to. And it's like nowadays it's like going through an unorganized, a never organized Rolodex of things. It's mentally draining. It's hard to find what you need to find. And overall, going to Facebook is just a crap filled experience. It just sucks. And there's just all this crap. There's promoted crap. There's crap that you need to see because you saw this other crap, and we think you'll be interested in this crap. So everywhere you look, there's crap. But it's like I was thinking back to the day where Facebook was one day it was useful to me. Back when things were in a chronological order, and I could just see what my friends were posting. But now it's shared posts, promoted pages, this, that, and the other, and a few of the things I like about Facebook is the stuff I put on there, like when it shows me memories, most of the time it's usually a good memory. And some of the stuff it shows me where I've been and what was I doing on this day because I've been on the platform for so long. But it's just like platforms like Facebook, and I know I'm just one user, but no, it goes from being this really cool, useful thing to keep tabs on people, and eventually because of business and because of changes, they turn the platform into a big pile of crap that I really don't want to use anymore.
I know. Isn't that weird?
And I think, and outside of the Cambridge Analytica and the privacy issues, I see a growing dissent against Facebook. And there seems to be more and more people either A, taking breaks, or B, just ditching the platform altogether because that's it. They've had enough. And they don't get out of it what they used to. And it's because of all these changes and stuff being thrown at you that you probably have no interest in.
The fact that Facebook bolted all of that in after the fact also doesn't help matters. Like something like Snapchat that has kind of had a lot of built-in ads and little things playing in the background when you swipe between things, and you, that you can always skip past is almost a better experience than what Facebook has built for everybody right now. Because every time that I almost accidentally go to Facebook at this point to like log in, or someone messages me, and I've deleted the app from my phone. I've went through and really manually purged a lot of content out of my Facebook profile and account. And so when I go there, my experience is very similar to yours, is it is not a valuable place to get, look at or do anything anymore. Clearly, it is providing value to many people still, but it is not a place that provides value for me. And that in a lot of ways is sort of, it mimics real life in that in certain periods of everybody's life, there are places that you like going for reasons that are hard to explain to somebody else. You like watching trains and sitting outside. So eventually that place is going to bum you out for some reason, or the people that are sitting there with you are people that you don't like. And so you go and you find a different place to sit. There are places that you like to eat until all of a sudden the food changes or the management changes. And so you don't go there anymore. And these things might be fine for 10 years or 15 years. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, you don't like spending time there anymore. And it might be that place that changed, and it might be you that changed. But most of the time with things that are online, it is the thing that has changed in a way that is for the worse. And I think online social networks typically run into that problem. There are a few that arguably are what they are, that at least like Reddit or any of the Pinterest, you know what it is, you know what you're getting into, and it has largely stayed that way. But a lot of the changes that Facebook and Twitter a little bit too have implemented in recent years have not been user friendly. They have been very obviously advertiser friendly. And in a period of time where we are worried about privacy online and being used for our data and farmed as consumers to buy things from everybody from all directions, it's just too obvious on those platforms that that's what they're doing. And as a result, it is undelicious. It is not a good place to go and eat. You don't go there. It's a little rotten. And so you'd rather go anyplace else than kind of those two. And so the thing we say is own your data, post it where you want it, make it yours. We just haven't found a really super great way to connect everybody together yet. And I think when we do, someone's going to try and ruin that too eventually. So well, we got to enjoy it while we can, and then know that eventually the advertisers and stuff's going to come in and wreck it, and then move on to the next thing.
One of the few reasons why I stay on Facebook is because you know, there are a handful of people I interact with on a regular basis in real life, and mm-hmm. they tell mm-hmm. me, they say, hey, they enjoy seeing pictures of my food, or they enjoy seeing me check into restaurants that they didn't know existed in the local area that maybe they want to check out too. And a lot of these people are not as tech savvy as me. So maybe they're that's on right. Facebook and they only follow the people that they know in real life, and that's how they keep tabs on them. And mm-hmm. maybe they don't get that same crap filled experience that I get because I'm following a bunch of different people and I'm right. I'm a little bit tech savvy and I follow a couple different pages, and next thing you know, Facebook just keeps barraging me, give me this barrage of stuff that, you know, I'm not interested in. So yeah. even though I want to ditch the platform completely, I probably, you know, I would feel a little weird of getting rid of Facebook, but overall I think it'd be mm-hmm. a good move. But you know, it kind of sucks because without the platform, a lot of those people, I guess I could, you know, get reacquainted with them and keep interacting with them in real life or do text right. messages or something of that fact. But Facebook is still a platform that allows me to communicate and keep tabs with those people. And that's one of the few strands I'm hanging on to that why I'm still yeah. on Facebook.
I get it. And that we've said the same thing with family members that are they are different users of Facebook as a platform than what Carrie and I are, or our friends are. They just use it differently for different reasons. And one of the things that is probably the most confusing about that is that everyone sees a different Facebook. Like the targeting is really good at showing you the things that it thinks you should see for whatever reasons it has decided. And so when a parent or somebody says, I saw this on Facebook, and then they want to have a conversation about it, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't see that, because yeah. it's not going to show me any of that because it knows not to. And so it is an interesting problem that it starts off really well-natured, but is really not it's not implemented very well in a way that is super, super friendly. Some friends of ours opened a meadery, Honeymead, this past weekend. And so this was their grand opening and their ribbon cutting. And while there is Wi-Fi in that building, it is not for anyone, and it is not a public SSID. That place is very purposely for in the world analog conversations and meeting with people in real life. And so, as uncomfortable as it may be, there is value in meeting in person. There's value to going to WordCamps and all those things. And so it is important, I think, that some of the happiest times of my life are when I've got a place where I can hang out and see my people and have a meal or have food or play games or...
I'm sorry, John, but if you or I in the same place, I am not socializing with you unless we're on Slack.
I understand. I just assumed you weren't happy in person with me. You're happy every time I'm not around, and then I see you at a WordCamp, and then you're miserable. I just assumed it was my fault.
Me and you together in the same room, chatting on Slack, sharing a run chat of float. Not yes. with the same band.
That was good times. That was good times, right? It was Grand Rapids. That was really fun.
Let's talk about something good here. After 9 years since the project began, version 1.0.0 of the WordPress coding standards is now available for download. And what are these coding standards, you may ask? The coding standards is a collection of PHP code sniffer rules, or what they call sniffs, which I Googled at when I was writing this story, to validate code developed for WordPress. And what these sniffs do is it ensures code quality and adherence to coding conventions, including the official WordPress coding standards. Two different things there, kind of with the same name. So a little bit of differentiation is in there as well. In addition to being a big milestone, this version actually contains some breaking changes. So a number of the sniffs have been moved between categories, and the old sniff names have been deprecated. And if the WordPress VIP rule set has been deprecated as well.
It's a big deal.
That rule set has not been valid for some time, says David Artis, a member of the WordPress.com VIP support team. They actually have their own VIP coding standard. So he recommends that if you are a VIP client and you are not using the alternative rule sets, they strongly recommend switching to their own rule set. And they also say that if you use the WordPress VIP rule set for any other reason, you should use the WordPress Extra or WordPress instead. Mm-hmm. So I don't use apparently this is a big deal. This has gotten actually a lot of likes. A lot of people are happy mm-hmm. about this. The project is available on GitHub, where contributions are welcome. You can check out the changelog. We wrote about this on WP Tavern. Mm-hmm. Also, the project on GitHub is really well laid out. It gives you a bit of the project's history, who's been involved, and there's also detailed explanations on how you can implement these code sniffers into your IDE of choice. So I think there's something on there for this is a couple of the big. What's a couple of the big ones?
PHP Storm.
Okay, there you go.
I feel like you're goading me into seeing how long it takes for me to say the word NetBeans, but I know that we don't have that yet, but I'll work on that eventually because I'm the one person in the WordPress world that uses it. I know Morton used it for a little while. Adam, there are others. But you're right. This is a big deal. Just like there's like a style guide for how you're supposed to write as a journalist, there are style guides for how you're supposed to write code in WordPress Core for patches or for anything else.
So you got Atom, Visual Studio, Eclipse with XAMPP, Sublime Text, and PHP Storm.
Yep.
So there's detail.
Eclipse 1. probably works for net beans. I'd have to try it. I bet it works, though. The thing that makes this unprecedented is that, as our listeners can probably imagine, how you should style your code is something that many people have many opinions on.
Tabs or spaces?
Well, I have a very kind of specific way that I like to write code that I think is maybe honed and forged over time, that doesn't necessarily agree with all of the WordPress core coding standards. I think that mine is maybe a little bit better, but it's hard, again, to tell or explain intuition. Why does this feel better than something else? And so not only is this a big deal to have at 1.0.0, and Julia and many others have done an amazing job getting all of this to this point, like an insane amount of back and forth and discussion to get this across the finish line. But the prize at the finish line involves kind of being able to update and automatically maintain all of the WordPress core code to that standard, because now we have definitions for what those standards are. And so the first step towards the general consensus or worry in the world about code bloat with WordPress, or it gets too big, or the code is too gross and old, or whatever else, is standardizing it, is making it all be the same syntactical language, using the same ways of writing code. Once you do that, now you can start going on the road of helping the code heal and write itself and let you know when you've done something incorrectly, which up until now, for all of WordPress's life, we have not really truly done. And so without this, there's not a lot of other automation that can really truly happen. So this is a huge, huge deal for all of us. And it was an insane amount of work to get here. So thank you to Juliet and everyone that really spearheaded this. And kudos to the VIP team, my old peeps, for sunsetting their standard and now having something else that they really don't have to own and maintain themselves anymore. That's a huge weight off of their shoulders also. And it's just a great thing all around. So big ups to everybody.
So the WordSesh conference recently took place. Nearly 500 attendees joined WordSesh, and it was a big hit from what I understand. And Brian Richards announced that there would be a new event, or sort of a sister event to WordSesh, called WooSesh, which will be held on October 18th and 19th. And as you can imagine, it will be all about, you guessed it, WooCommerce. So Brian Richards and Patrick Rollin are organizing the event, and they'll be hosting 8 presentations each day. So about 16 presentations, you know, give or take, over the 2 days. The event will last between 8 to 10 hours both days, including breaks and announcements. As it turned out, this year there will not be a WooConf, which is the last one I believe was held in Seattle. And if you visit the WooConf.com webpage, they actually explain that they haven't made any decisions on doing a WooConf beyond this year, but for now they're focusing on the growing and changing needs of their community and their customers rather than investing in a conference. Mm-hmm. The statement says that they are committed to serving WooCommerce users worldwide, and they'll continue to support meetups across the globe, host biweekly developer chats, mm-hmm. and communicate via the WooCommerce community Slack channel, Facebook groups, Twitter, and the like. And so they're going to, but in retrospect, so Brian Richards actually reached out to the WooCommerce team, and WooCommerce is actually sponsoring the entire event, mm-hmm. making it free for all live attendees. Now that's the key word. You have to attend live in order for the event to be free for you. Now, the conference will have a $200 ticket price for those who do not attend live, and those who register in advance and attend live will receive the $200 ticket for free. So, again, you know, if you register and you get that ticket, make sure you show up and at least watch one session, and the entire event is free for you. So that's pretty awesome that WooCommerce is actually sponsoring this event. That way, there's this kind of takes the place of a WooConf, and now it opens it up for everyone or anyone who wants to attend to check it out for free. So
it's smart. It's really smart to stagger this or to tier this way, because it does like the. It introduces into the digital online sphere the concept of urgency when it comes to participating in an event like this. Because if it's always available in perpetuity forever and it ends up on WordPress.tv, then there's not a lot of urgency to attend. But if it's going to cost you $200 to do it later, you might want to think about signing up. And part of signing up is getting email addresses, having an account, sticking around for more, and proving that this is something that you are prioritizing. So it forces viewers to prioritize this event accordingly and appropriately, which is the right thing to do, or pay the $200 toll for not doing it. And that way, the people that can't do it will pay. It's sponsored and backed, which is very generous and smart for the WooCommerce team to do also, to partner up like this, especially with not having a WooConf this year. It kind of makes all the sense in the world to do it like this. So it's a brilliant idea and a good strategy all around. Congrats to everybody's friend, Brian Richards, and for the success of WordSesh, obviously, but this is a great idea. So I'm excited to see this get pulled off.
And there was a huge announcement that happened last week. Some expected this, some didn't, but Slack has acquired HipChat and ends up moving its blog from Medium to WordPress. Now, the second part, maybe not such a big announcement, but just kind of happened around the same time. But Slack announced it has acquired HipChat from Atlassian. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Atlassian. So HipChat is actually going to be retired. All of its customers will migrate over to Slack, Atlassian. I like Atlassian. It seems like it's
Chandler.
Yes.
George Chandler, host of the WordPress pub podcast. Right.
So Atlassian acquired HipChat in 2012, hoping to scale the business, but they came up as a formidable challenge. Slack, came crushed up out it. Of nowhere.
Yes.
You know, crushed it. So if you are a HipChat user, use HipChat for within your agency or what have you, guess what? Everybody's moving to Slack. And if you have no choice, basically, now to move
pretty
to
much.
Slack. But some people saw this coming. Other people say it was just a matter of time. What do you think?
I think it's a matter
of time. I mean, have you ever used HipChat?
I did use HipChat.
I've never used HipChat.
It was not great. No, I mean, no offense to anyone that poured their heart and soul into it, but HipChat was not, it was not super wonderful. It was like IRC. It was basically just IRC in a browser and without a whole lot more. And they tried hard to hang with Slack and compete and add some nice features to it, but Slack just killed it. They came out with everything so far ahead of everybody else. I was surprised to see Slack's numbers in that post, though. 70,000 paid teams is not a lot of teams, right? I expected for there to be more. And 8 million daily active users is a lot of users that are talking back and forth to all of these servers to make all this work. I mean, that is an insane amount of bandwidth and activity going in and out. But that means that if there's 70,000 paid teams, there's a lot of unpaid teams, which is a lot of just free server time. And so in the ways that if you're not paying, you're paying some way or another with money or data. It's hopefully everything's on the up and up. I wish there were more people paying, honestly. I don't know how you do that or how Slack does that, but I don't know. I guess their posts didn't include, maybe you know, but I didn't see how many paying HipChat teams did they acquire. It didn't say that I could tell. It was mostly a press release about Slack's success already. It wasn't really about how many paying customers are they pulling in from HipChat. I hope it is significant. And you never know how these deals kind of go. We talked about this with mergers in the WordPress space. Is this a strategic talent acquisition where there's just good engineers at HipChat? Is it the folks at Slack being kind and making sure that the HipChat team has jobs and in something that they clearly have a lot of experience in? Is this something that was done to be polite and do the right thing because they can afford to do it? Or was this competitive only where they just wiped out the last remaining competition in the space? The only thing that's really left, aside from Discord or Twitch or other platforms that are focusing on other areas of chat and discussion, Mattermost is really still the best open source Slack alternative that there is. And I tried to use it for a while and I kind of liked the direction it was going, but I don't think most people in our community are going to adopt more open source projects to contribute to. WordPress already is a big enough of a thing with all the work that we're doing. So I have questions about this, but I hope that it's all.
I don't have any answers. I'm sorry. No. Wrong number.
Yeah, you don't say.
Huh. So we're actually a bit early on the show for once. So let's go take a look at what's trending on Twitter. So let's go take a look. And one of the hashtags.
Are we going to do this? We're going to do this live on the show?
No, there's only one thing I want to talk about. And there's a hashtag going on today. It's why I joined Twitter. And I was thinking about it. And I remember back in the day, I joined Twitter because for me, I was getting established in a WordPress community. I was really having these cool conversations with people. And Twitter to me was a great way of having one-to-one relationships and communications with people in the WordPress community, which it ended up being for a long time. And it was also a great way to generate traffic for the tavern back at the time, because the hype was real around Twitter. It was a big deal. But one of the things I saw in here was just going through the hashtag, you know, Carl's Jr., restaurant chain says that I'm a brain and I had to. I thought that was pretty funny. But Twitter for me, I've taken breaks on Twitter and Twitter is not to the extent of Facebook, but kind of it's in that same vein where things are not in a chronological order. I'm seeing stuff that's 4 hours ago, 6 hours ago, things you might have missed 8 hours ago, which drives me up the wall because I'm retweeting something I just discovered and it's already 24 hours old. So, you know, it's not new. But I'm tweeting less and less. I'm using Twitter less these days because it's just a garbage pile of political nonsense. There's a lot of anger on Twitter, and there's some good things on there. There's just pictures of dogs and stuff like that. But
those are the best things. I agree. The
animal pictures are pretty cool. But so why did you join Twitter? I'll ask you.
I forget exactly the day. I was living in Miami when I joined Twitter, and so I think it was mostly like curiosity. At that point, we were still spending. I was still spending a lot of time helping
Friend
Andy.
Feed,
no, Jack helping you. Andy. No, no, helping Andy with BuddyPress.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so it was mostly curiosity. Like, how did they change this up? It was to study the decisions that they had made. conversely to the other sort of networks at the time that had come and gone. And it was not as much for the interaction. And then the interaction for me was sort of a byproduct of my putting stuff out there. It did turn into a place where I use it probably more frequently than I should or should probably admit. But I do think that Twitter's done a good job with Moments and with is it Moments on the iOS app? Like the bottom of it, does it say Moments? I guess so.
I do have a Twitter app, and I do use Moments. I do think Moments is nice.
I do use Moments more than I thought I would for the like Twitter size news feed, and I use Reddit for that the same way. Kind of follow specific things I'm interested in, news, tech, whatever else. But originally, it was just to research some of the decisions that they were making and poke around with it, which is like not a super entertaining answer, I guess. That's like half the reason why I join most social networks is to like, let's see what their approach to these things is. I think Discord is a neat piece of software. Twitch did an amazing job growing everything into what it is now. We talked about all these gardens or Facebook changing its rules, and there's a lot of like VR networks right now, PlayStation VR, everything else, where they are brand new social networks. People log into PlayStation VR every day just to hang out in different chat rooms together. And so those are the reasons that I think are compelling, is because they're just new and neat, and I want to learn about what they've done.
I was just looking at this. You know, Facebook was founded in 2004. Twitter was founded in 2006. So these two companies managed to get through, survive, and actually thrive through the Web 2.0 era, where every new thing under the sun was popping up, missing vowels and what have you. And these companies are still around. They have hundreds of millions, probably billions of users. There was a time where, you know, the friend feeds and the Jaikus, and there are these new sort of ideas and new takes on things. And these two in particular have managed to find that right chemistry, whatever that is, whether that's time, interface, interactivity, what have you. And we've seen how they've evolved in the past 12 to 14 years. Have you seen – nothing has really come across my radar, but have you seen anything that could even – start to take a cut out of what Facebook and Twitter is doing, maybe by doing it the same way or doing it differently? And then there's also the argument of, or not really the argument, but the desire a lot of people have to decentralize all these things and have everybody sort of participate like in open source, and everybody decentralize all these networks. But, you know, I don't know how that seems to be a really difficult thing to accomplish, because at least with Twitter or whatever, you have a bunch of money being thrown at this. It's a centralized service. There's they're doing all the investments for you. And there have been projects and different opportunities to try and decentralize these things, but it just really hasn't taken off.
It's the technical gap with decentralizing is still too high in the ways that, you know, WordPress has a 2-minute install and you can get it up and running and go. You would need to have that for your own feed. And in a way, WordPress really could eventually be that thing where we all publish to the web and we're all somehow interconnected in our own little channels the way we want to interconnect them. I really believe that has a lot of huge, huge potential, which is the roots of BuddyPress and everything else. But
How do we create the Twitter that no one owns?
I think what happens is once you create it, nobody wants it. is the thing. It's just everyone is already on those platforms. And the harder part, and this is where being on the web and being involved with open source for this long, I feel like I'm not even the person to solve this problem anymore. I'm too close to WordPress and too old and too kind of hooked up to my own vision of these things that that very obvious thing that took a huge dent out of Facebook and Twitter directly, the two are Snapchat and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's not because because people left Facebook and Twitter and moved to Snapchat and Instagram, although people did do that. The real uptick is generationally the folks that are the 10 or 15 years younger than us don't want to be where we are. And so wherever we are, they are not going to be. And then they are going to experience the exact same thing. And so the older I get is the more I love a good Wisconsin supper club. Like, give me a fish fry on a Friday. I know it sounds lame. I'm an old fashioned in a fish fry, and I'm completely comfortable and okay with that. And that is just the where you find your people and your happy place. And so people that are younger than us generally are hanging out in those places. They're having discussions on Instagram comments instead of having them on Facebook or Twitter. They're having back and forth conversations through Snapchat because that is the place just where we are not. And so I don't think that WordPress loses market share or users or that Facebook or Twitter. The only reason that Facebook and Twitter decline is because the generations of people that use them just stop using them. There will be some of us that just try to hang on and be cool and use Instagram, or we'll use it for whatever we use it for. But my friend Ben that I've mentioned earlier in the show, we joke that we'll be the old dudes using React in a, you know, like in the corner, that we know how it works, but everyone else is just on a different playing field for a different reason than we are, and it's just different. It's just how we change and what you use and why. It's just younger people using something different. And so the thing to think about, right, if the show is almost over and we need to have a closing remark, I guess, is the opportunity is in young people and providing them the next best thing that they either don't have or that they need to have a safe place away from the people before them. They need something to call their own, and that's theirs. It's up to us to hopefully provide it for them, and in a way that is responsible and environmentally friendly. And
I hope you and I live
posts and everything else.
I hope you and I live long enough to join a social network that's specially catered to those on Social Security. that'll be our people.
Hopefully it is both social and secure for us, then. Because if it wasn't, it would really be, it's in the name, right? Itself, it's the Social Security Network is neither one of those things, and we've really screwed
back
that
in my day. Farewell was cool.
It was cool. I haven't seen
Farewell in a while, so congrats to Twitter for that.
No kidding. I still really like the GitHub 404 page that hasn't changed in a very long time. Like, it's one of the few like problem 404 pages type pages where you're like, oh, this is still pretty dope. I'm on board with this page. It's good. So I don't know. That's what I think. Yeah.
All right.
What do you think? What's your next social? Do you Snapchat? Are you on Snapchat at all?
No, I don't do Snapchat. I don't do LinkedIn. I don't do Pinterest. I don't do Instagram. Ooh, I don't do any of those. I'm getting sick of technology, and I tell you what, I'm getting sick of my iPhone. It's turning into a rectangular piece of crap.
Get off my lawn, Jeff. Ugh. That's what I was going to say when you were talking about Facebook.
Technology is supposed to be cool, but man, it's just making my life a living hell.
See, it's making your life a living hell, but everybody's lives are, billions of people's lives are better for it.
This is true.
But it's true. But when I turned off all the Facebook access and privatized my page and everything, there were a bunch of people that wanted to say happy birthday on my Facebook page that couldn't, because they couldn't post on my profile. And so you'd be surprised how many of those people went to LinkedIn to say happy birthday. I had like 50 happy birthday messages on LinkedIn. I was like, well, that's cute. In a, like, I can't post to your Facebook kind of way. I had, you know, some text messages and stuff. But
and then I get these emails from LinkedIn that says, you appeared in two searches this month. And, you know, it kind of piques my curiosity to maybe want to figure out what it is. But, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I don't care if you're searching for me. I'm not there. I don't know what you're doing. So I don't have a profile there.
You know where that works really well, and it has, it might be either where LinkedIn got that from, or maybe everybody, you know, is remixing and sampling everybody else. Dating websites will say, hey, so and so looked at your profile, or you showed up in these many search results, and then they try and upsell you on their network. LinkedIn is like a dating website for professionals.
There you have it, folks. That's a great way to end the show. So you can find show notes for this.
I don't know that that's a great way to end the show. That is a way to
that
end
is
the
a
show.
Way. Okay. So you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter while I'm still there and the account's still active at Jeffro, JeffR0. And John?
Jeff, where can we find you on LinkedIn?
I'm not there. Don't look for me. Don't look for me because I don't want to know how many people are looking for me. I like them.
Oh, if there's anything that our listeners can do for me right now, just try to search for you on LinkedIn.
And if I get the email, I will report the results. I have showed up in like 10 search results, which would actually would be huge.
Oh, yeah. All 10 of our listeners found you on LinkedIn.
There's got to be more than 10.
I believe that there's dozens of people.
Hi, Carrie. At least she's one of them. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Again, next week we have Scott Clark on.
I'm excited.
The lead developer of Pods, and we're going to be discussing his recent decision to step down as the project leader for the Fields API project. And I believe that's going to lead into a very interesting and thoughtful discussion on contributing to WordPress core, open source, philosophies, debates, bike sheds, and trying to get core buy-in, trying to get contributors, and get sort of Scott's personal take on things as well on all this. And I know this is something, John, you'll be able to relate to and probably ask some good questions and share your experiences with. So next week's going to be an awesome show. So everybody tune in for that. So without further ado, everybody enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.